Over the past year or so, we've seen several high-profile allies of Donald Trump, let's call it self-deprogram themselves, from the cult of Trump known as MAGA. Chris Christie, for example, Anthony Scaramucci, they did it freely. Others like Jenna Ellis did it as they were basically staring at a judge in prison time. My next guest is also a deprogrammed MAGA cultist who was deep inside that world, seeking to serve Donald Trump only to wind up in prison. You can read his story in his best-selling book, Shadow Diplomacy, and watch him tell his story in the fantastic documentary From Russia with Lev. We say hello to Lev Parnas. Thank you so much for being here today, Mr. Parnas.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Hello, how are you?
And to follow Mr. Parnas on X, or at least what's left of it, Lev Parnas, and we have that linked up at our homepage as well. So I guess the question you probably get the most when someone meets you for the first time, how did you wind up into the world of Donald Trump's inner circle?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's why I encourage everybody to watch the movie and read the book, because it's a really wild and crazy story. It's such a crazy story that it's hard to believe until you really start seeing the actual facts. But my indoctrination, I would say, into the Trump mega world was it started with actually my son. One day called me up when Donald Trump actually came down those escalades and announced that he's going to run for president. My son was 16 at the time, and he was just getting into politics. Our family was nowhere near politics, so he was taking the lead, and it was something that I tried to bond with him. And he gave me a call and said, "Hey, Dad, your friend is running for president." He thought he was my friend because me and Trump ran in the same circles. We had pictures together. I used to work for his father, Trump, but we didn't have any kind of close relationship at the time. So I got us some tickets, and I took my son to our first rally, which was in Doral, which was Trump's first rally. We were backstage with him. We spent about 20 minutes, and that was the first real interaction we had, and where I introduced Trump to my son, and we spoke, and I told him about how I worked for his father, Fred, when I was back in Brooklyn in real estate. And Trump made a comment saying something like, you know, when your son gets to be a lawyer, he'll come work at the White House. Little did I know that one day my son did become a lawyer, and Trump did offer him a position at the White House, but he turned it down. My son was smarter than me at the time. So that was my first initiation. And then where we really kind of became like family was when we held a fundraiser for him. It was October of 2016. It was a month before the elections. It was right when that disgusting video came out with Billy Bush and him talking about, being famous and being able to do what he wants. And his polls were down, and he was very depressed at the time. And that was probably the most humble I've ever seen Trump in my life. And that's probably what I think really got to me, is when we were sitting and having that dinner, and it was kind of only 15, 20 people in that dinner. And me and him kind of got off into a conversation that lasted like 30 minutes. And he looked down to the ocean and, you know, looked back at me. And I asked him, I said, why are you doing this? You know, because we were all, you know, saying, oh, you're getting all this bad press. And, you know, why do you need this? And he looked at it and said, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for the average people, for, you know, we need to root out this deep state. And at that moment, it was like that, you know, kind of when you watch a movie and someone stares in your eyes and you get hypnotized.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make light of it, but it's not light. But that kind of what happened. I was like, I was Trumpanized, cultinized, you know. And from that moment on, I was with them every day. And we went to every rally, I was front row at the Hillary Clinton third debate. I was with them at the Hilton when he won. And now we're here. So that was my initiation into the Trump cult.
Your story, I think, brings a better understanding regarding Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch, because I think as that was coming about, as it was taking place, as it was being revealed, people couldn't understand, well, why was this ambassador so key in everything that happened, and people who fell because of it happening? What was the purpose of all that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, she is the key. She was, because she was a true American hero. She was a true, American ambassador fighting for our democracy, fighting out to root corruption. But at the time, I didn't realize it or understood that, because at the time I was so deep in the cult that she was enemy number one, because she was in our way to get the dirt that we needed. Instead of really realizing what she was really doing was trying to save our democracy and stop Russian propaganda to be pushed inside of the United States. So she became, you know, our enemy and our foe, and it became the mission of the Trump DLT team and our shadow diplomacy to make sure that, you know, she was out, that she got fired.
Darwin Lev Parnas, who through his book, Shadow Diplomacy, Lev Parnas and his Wild Ride from Brooklyn, New York to Trump's Inner Circle, as well as a documentary From Russia with Lev, is making, I think, bringing a lot of clarity to a picture that, well, certainly Trump world is trying to cloudy up as best they can, but the facts always seem to withstand all of that, and we're grateful for that and for what Lev does. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I think another revelation that comes from the story you've told is that Mike Pence was always trying to present himself as above the fray, far away from the sewer. That wasn't necessarily true, was it?
Yep. No, it wasn't. Well, I'll be fair to Pence to say in a way he wasn't part of the cult. He did try to stay away, try to stay fair, but he didn't, if you know what I mean. He still went and gave the messages. You know, he went and flew to Poland to meet with Trump and gave the message to Zelensky to open up an investigation, which a lot of people don't know. He canceled, I mean, he didn't cancel, Trump canceled his trip, but he disclosed the real purposes of canceling his trip, which was, I mean, one of the biggest things that people don't understand when they say why Russia invaded Ukraine. Trump tries to tout that, you know, it didn't happen on his watch. But what's important to understand is it was all started on his watch that became a prelude to what then Joe Biden had to be able to actually save our country from what Trump set up. That time President-elect Vladimir Zelensky was waiting for his inauguration. That was a very, very big point in Ukraine's life history, and for a brand new president that didn't have experience to come in while they were being invaded by Russian forces. Because a lot of people forget Russia invaded in 2014, not in 2022. There was a war going on while Trump was there. And one of the things Trump used through me to be able to manipulate Ukraine was, A, he held back Vice President Pence from going to the inauguration, which was the first sign to Putin to say that Ukraine is yours. And then, which was even more egregious, was where he actually canceled and held back $400 million military aid, congressional-approved military aid, after our meeting. So it was outrageous what he was doing at the time he was doing it. And that's why I think it's such an important time that this movie is coming out, to understand and that he's running for presidency right now, and if he was able to do that then, what could he possibly do now? The other thing I want to mention is, I think it's important for the audience to look at, is the messages that Trump came out with. First, it was dead silence from the GOP when the movie and the book released. They were scrambling to see how they're going to figure out to deflect and make sure that the story gets buried. So what does Trump do? He couldn't handle it. He came out and attacked Ukraine. He came out and attacked. He had a stooge in his Congress by the name of Johnson, that came out and basically is now trying to fire, putting pressure on Ukraine to fire a Ukrainian ambassador. It's the same script, the same thing. And now he's pushing Zelensky to meet with him at Trump Tower to be able to push the same agenda. Nothing changed, and the audience needs to understand that he's doing it now blatantly in front of our eyes. As in 2020, we were a shadow diplomacy. Nobody knew about us. Well, now he's doing it right in the open. He's using the Speaker of the House to basically manipulate and push and the Ukrainian country to meddle and tell them who their ambassador could or could not be. Just think about that. It's outrageous.
Well, it's also a sign of desperation when you try to when your actions that are so questionable, you're willingly doing it so blatantly. That just shows a sign of desperation, which I had pointed out on my social media page a couple of days ago. You look at his fundraising, he's being outraised 4-1 by Harris. You look at his email pitches, where he used to ask for $50 and $100, he's asking for $5 and $10, and people used to float his miserable stock just to win favor with him. That's come to an end now. So there's a lot of warning signs that he is definitely in trouble.
Bravo. Bravo, Chris. I'm so happy that you're seeing the warning signs, and I hope more of your audience and more people see the, because yes, he is in trouble. He's a desperate man. He's right now, and that's, but that's the scariest part, and that's why I want everybody to understand. These next 40 days are very, very important, but very scary, because the rhetoric that's going to start coming out, as you could see, it started with the cats. First, it started with trying to, you know, attack Kamala Harris about her, you know, if she's black or not. Then that didn't work. Then they went and started attacking the dogs and cats. Again, it's racially motivated because it's attacking immigrants and Haitians. And now, you know, he's with the movie coming out, he's starting to attack Ukraine again and meddle in their ambassador. He's just out of control. And I'm glad you're seeing the signs, Chris. And I think there's more to come. And we have some things planned up for him because, you know, as they say, that October surprise, we're not done yet.
Excellent, excellent. Real fast, like 20 seconds or so, if you can, because I mentioned high-profile people like yourself walk away from Trump. But there are countless everyday people who still blindly follow Trump. What can you just tell a person in their lives that can maybe help that person, get that person to break that bond?
So I'll tell you honestly, Chris, I think we're at a point in our country right now that the lines have been drawn as far as the people in the cult. And I want to make it clear, when I say the mega cult, that doesn't mean all Republicans. It doesn't even mean all people that are voting for Trump. Because I've noticed through my experience of being in that world, there's a lot of people there that hate Trump, don't believe in Trump, but are just greedy for their own purposes. Either it's because of Bitcoin, they think Trump's going to do something better for them, or it's because of taxes, they think it's going to be something. But it's not big. They also think Trump's an idiot. They also don't like him, but because of their own personal. So those two groups, the cult and that group, you're not going to be able to change their mind because they're made up. They're hardcore. For their own personal reasons or because they're part of the cult. But then there's that big part of the group, excuse me, Chris, that is out there, that's undecided, that's watching, that is, doesn't follow politics all day long, that doesn't stick by the Twitter spaces or TV, that is now tuning in, the regular people that are going to make the decision. And that's the people that I think are important, that the more they listen, the more they see. And why is the movie, I think, extremely important? Is because you hear and you see Donald Trump with his own words. You see him doing it. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take other people's. Because what the movie was able to do is, while I was in Trump's orbit, my partner Igor secretly had secret recordings that he took while we had meetings with Trump. You'll see how he talks about Ambassador Yovanovitch. You'll hear how he talks about, in his own words, get rid of her just because I told him some gossip that I heard in our circles that was running around. And that's why it's important for people to, those people to see it, because those are the people who are going to make the decision in our country. And it's one of the most important ones, this election. I know we say it all the time, but this one is for our democracy.
All right. The documentary From Russia with Lev, the book Shadow Diplomacy on X, Lev Parnas. Mr. Parnas, thank you so much for the reality that you bring into the picture of fantasy and the importance that you place on what is about to happen over the next 40 days. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, and I thank you for being a voice out there to keep telling the truth and making sure people know. Thank you, Chris, for what you're doing, and if you, I'd love to come back again when we get closer and when we have some more surprises.